Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for joining us for this special briefing at 5:30 today. You'll be hearing from our annual auditors, Purvis Gray. I'm going to turn it over to CFO Ashley Gossett to do just a very quick introduction as to why we're all here.
All right. Thank you. As required by state statutes and our own charter, we have to have an annual audit performed by independent auditors. In front of the council people today, I have placed four documents that we'll go over. The first is the email that I sent you earlier today. The second is a bound packet called the, starts with management's discussion and analysis. The third is the letter communication with those charged with governance. And the fourth is the handout for the PowerPoint that the auditors are going to go over today. We had a change to essentially one number in our financial general ledger after we sent the reports to you. But because this is government accounting, it rippled out to 18 different pages within this report. And so I'll turn it over to our auditors to get started and talk it through with you. Tonight we have Barbara Boyd, the audit partner, and Megan Camp, the audit director.
There we go. All right. Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Thank you for having me here today to present the results of the September 30th, 2024 City NCRA financial audit. As Ashley mentioned, we did have one late adjustment that was identified today, and it was a correction of a financial statement accounting error, basically, to increase the over recovery in the electric utility. The adjustment was found deep in a spreadsheet and was identified today. And so the result of that adjustment was to increase a liability for the over recovery by about $5 million and to decrease revenues by that amount. Again, this is a financial accounting process entry. It's considered a paper entry, if you will. There's no change in total cash. There was a change in the restricted and unrestricted cash classification, but no change in total cash. And then there was a change in the liability and the revenues, as we discussed. There was no error in the billing to the customers, no issues there. The electric fund reserves remain very healthy. We'll talk about this a little bit when we talk about the financial highlights, but you still had a $6 million net operating income after this adjustment in the electric utility. So that is a very, very healthy increase. So aside from that, we can talk more about it if you have more questions, but if not, I'll go ahead and get into the results of the audit. So, looking at the summary of auditor's results, we have several reports included in the bound financial statements. The first report is the independent auditor's report. And this is the basic report that issues that where we issue our opinion, and we had unmodified or clean opinion, which is the highest level of assurance that we as auditors can provide, which means that you can rely on the financial statements. Towards the back of the report, there are a number of other reports that we issued. The first is a report on internal controller of financial reporting and compliance and other matters that are required to be reported with government under government auditing standards. So as part of any audit, we look at your internal controls to assist with our risk assessment. We don't issue an opinion on your internal controls, but if during that process we identify any control deficiencies that we can consider to be significant deficiencies or material weaknesses, we bring those to your attention. So I am pleased to say that we had no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal controls identified. And we also had no material instances of noncompliance or other matters are required to be reported, which are also a component of government auditing standards. There's also a couple of examination reports included in the financial statements. So in both the city and the CRA financial statements, there is a compliance with Florida Statute 218-415, which is the local government investment policy. Both the city and the CRA complied with the Florida statute, no issues there. And on the CRA's financial statements, there's an examination report on whether the CRA complied with the compliance requirements of CRAs, that's Florida Statute 163, 387, 6, and 7. That was a clean report as well. There were no issues to report. You did spend a significant amount of ARPA funding this year again, so you did have a single audit. Anytime you have over $750,000 in federal or state grants, you're required to undergo a single audit, which looks at the compliance with the major program compliance requirements. So we issue an opinion on the compliance for each major federal program, and we also look at internal control over compliance. So previously under government auditing standards, we looked at internal control under financial reporting, over financial reporting, and now we look at internal control over compliance. There was an unmodified opinion or a clean opinion. That means no findings relative to the major federal audit program. And then no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses over compliance were identified. So all that is clean, very good. And the final letter included in there is a management letter that's issued in accordance with Chapter 10550, Rules of the Auditor General. They require us to include a number of things in here, so I've summarized a few of them. No prior audit findings. If you had prior audit findings, we would be following up on those, but there were no prior findings reported. Financial condition and management. Under that, we would report any recommendations that we have to improve financial management. We had no recommendations this year in connection with our audit. Additional matters, if there was any non-compliance with provisions of contracts or grant agreements, any fraud, waste, or abuse that we identified, that didn't rise to the level of a significant deficiency or material weakness to be reported in the government auditing standards letter. We report that here. I'm pleased to say there's no matters to report there. Your CRA management letter has got a section on special district component unit reporting, which requires disclosure of the number of employees, how much is paid to employees in the CRA, how much is paid to contractors, the projects that you've got going on. All that information is included in that management letter. And then finally, there is one new paragraph on the management letter with the property assessed clean energy program, the PACE program. That's been a controversial program throughout the state. So the AG is trying to get a handle on how much of this is going out there. So management did not identify any such programs that are in operation within the geographical boundaries, and that's reported in this management letter as well. So that was all the reports that were included in the bound financial statements. You do also have a separate letter called Required Communications with Those Charged with Governance. So this is information for you to be able to better assess the results of the audit. In it, we identify any changes that occurred from year to year and significant matters. So the qualitative aspects of accounting practices, you did have the adoption of one new accounting policy this year. That's GASB 100, accounting for changes and error corrections that really didn't have much of a significant impact on your financial statements, but it was a new accounting policy. Significant estimates that are included in your financial statements, you've got depreciation expense, net pension, OPEB liability and assets, compensated absences, unbilled revenues, the present value of leases receivable, and subscription-based information technology liabilities. These are estimates that are based on inputs that management may come up with. So we do evaluate those inputs and determine that they're reasonable and consistent from year to year. No difficulties encountered in performing the audit. We did have one material audit adjustment, which is the one that we talked about previously. No disagreements with management. The only other thing to point out here, which we talked about with management, is that there are a couple of new accounting standards that are coming up next year. The GASB is constantly coming up with work for accountants, and so that is there for management to work on for next year. All right, so getting into the financial highlights, we'll just touch on very high level financial highlights for governmental funds, the CRA, and enterprise funds. So this is the governmental funds excluding CRA. you can see your revenues for the governmental funds increased in total by $717,000. But that there is a decrease in intergovernmental revenues of $3.2 million, and that is from ARPA funding. ARPA revenue is recognized as the expenditures are incurred, and so less expenditures were incurred this year. We did have an increase in taxes of $1.5 million. That's primarily property taxes driven by assessed values. And then you had an increase in investments of $2.3 million. It's just a better market for the year ending 9/30/24. On the expenditure side, overall expenditures are down almost $1 million. But again, the capital outlay has got a decrease of $3 million because of the ARPA project. So if you take all the other categories and exclude capital outlay, your expenditures actually increase $2.2 million. And the primary drivers of that are personnel costs. There's some repair, maintenance, and renovations that went on in 2024 that are driving those up as well. So looking to the left box there, that is how you ended the year. You had a beginning fund balance of 53, so this is your equity in the governmental funds. You had a $53 million beginning fund balance, an almost $8 million increase in that fund balance. And then that fund balance is further broken down into non-spendable, restricted, committed, and assigned. So this is how much freedom or wiggle room you have to spend that fund balance. So the restricted is restricted by contracts or agreements, external parties. So that can't be used for general operations, but if you go down all the way to assigned, those are funds that generally can be spent for operations, but you as a commission, as a council, have assigned them to certain projects. So for the assigned, you have unanticipated events and emergencies. You have $6 million assigned for that. Typically, we like to see 2 to 3 months of operating expenditures in the general fund, and this is about 3 months, so you're in a healthy position there. And on top of that, you also have committed fund balance for revenue stabilization of $7.8 million. So should you have a significant emergency, hurricanes are a big common thing on coastal areas, so those are available as well. And then you also have $23.6 million assigned for capital projects as you try to accumulate funds to fund projects on pay-as-you-go basis rather than issuing debt. Moving on to the CRA. So on the CRA side, you had total revenues this year of $15.8 million, which was an increase from last year of $2.8 million. A big driver of that is the investment income. That's at $3.3 million this year, but you also had an increase in taxes of $1 million, again, due to assessed values. Your total expenditures are at $14.5 million this year. That you have capital outlay of $11.8 that's driving that large expenditure. And some of the projects that are making that up are the dune walkover and downtown infrastructure projects. So on the left side, what's making up your fund balance, you've got a beginning fund balance of $43.3 million, a net change in fund balance is an increase of $1.3 million, leaving you with an ending fund balance of $44.6 million, all of which has been committed to certain projects in the CRA as is required by statute. The restricted, the downtown has got $30.8 million and the South End District has got $13.8 million. And then finally, on your enterprise funds, these numbers are after the adjustment. So you can see your total revenues are down overall $6.4 million. A big driver of that is the decrease in electric revenues of $9 million. But the reason revenues are down $9 million is because the purchased power is down $11.8 million. So that is a flow-through cost, pass-through cost. So as the purchased power costs go down, so would your revenue. But that was offset by a rate increase, a couple rate increases in 2024, as well as some consumption increases. The other large revenue change there is your sanitation. That was up $2.1 million. Again, that is a pass-through cost, so you see the other operating expenses had an increase of $4 million. That includes an increase of $2 million in sanitation. So sanitation increase is passed through to customers, resulting in a revenue increase. So for 2024, you see your operating income there is $10.6 million. That is after a depreciation expense of $11.7 million. So that means that you're making sufficient revenue, sufficient income to cover your depreciation, which is essentially your wear and tear on your infrastructure. And then you also had non-operating revenue of $10 million, which is primarily investment income this year. Your operating and non-operating revenue before capital contributions and transfers was up about $20.6 million, and then you had capital contributions of $13.7 million. And these were contributions from governmental activities, which are your general funds, governmental funds, to business-type activities, which are your enterprise funds. So the CRA had some infrastructure that was completed this year, then that was transferred over to your stormwater fund. And then you had some ARPA projects that were completed as well that were transferred over to water and sewer, I believe. And so you ended the year, if you look to the left, with $344 million in total net position. $213 million of that is invested in capital assets, and then you have $130 million that is unrestricted, and that includes a number of funds. You can use it for general operating purposes, but you're also accumulating funds to pay for future infrastructure. So. And then last page, I promise, the financial highlights for the pensions. So this is just a snapshot of what the total pension liability, the plan net position, the net pension liability, and the funded ratio is as of the end of the year for the past 5 years. The 2023 row is highlighted because that's the net pension liability that's recorded in your 2024 financial statements. So accounting standards allow you to be 1 year behind so that you have the actuary has time to prepare the information. So you're showing a net pension liability for the general fund, for the governmental general employees, excuse me, of $18.6 million, for example, and $4.2 million for police. 2024 is here as just a review for potential significant changes that occurred after the year. So you can see that there was actually an improvement in 2024 in all of the plans, primarily due to an improvement in investments from 9/30/23 to 9/30/24. So you'll see that decrease in the net pension liability flow through your financial statements in 9/30/25. So that is all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions.
One quick question for you. On this, in the 24-hour email, is there a reporting compliance requirement per for state statute, or is that just a internal within for us?
So this was an internal thing for us because we caught a formula error in a spreadsheet that it read through to the over-recovery, so we needed to amend the statements before we asked you guys to formally adopt it. So it's an accounting principle that we had to, that we need to adhere to.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to review everything and I apologize for that. But just to be clear, we have a $41 million increase net of revenues this year from last year, approximately.
Are you looking at governmental funds or
looking at overall? It's 41,007.8%. On the first page.
Yes, that is page five. That is full accrual basis, and there was a $41 million increase in total net position. I don't know how much you want me to get into the full accrual versus modified accrual basis, but the governmental funds that I went through are modified accrual, so they don't include long-term capital assets or any debt. You don't have debt, you have leases. But so the numbers that I went through for governmental funds will be a little bit different. They don't add up to that $41 million, but they are included in your financial statements. But yes, full accrual government-wide, you were at $41 million.
Thank you so very much for all your hard work.
If there's no other questions or comments by council, just to let you know that the acceptance of the actuarial findings is actually on the agenda for tonight. It's under the consent docket, which is one of the reasons that we wanted to make sure we got this modification to you so that it could be discussed here this evening, and that way you could move forward with consideration of formal adoption and not have to push it off to another meeting. If there are no other questions, our auditors will stick around, or are they taking off right after this briefing?
We'll stick around.
Stick around to make sure that the consent docket goes through. But otherwise, thank you, CFO Gossett, for you and your team for assisting them. And we will be reconvening in approximately 7 minutes for the regular council meeting.